Sharing the secrets of anti-aging, disease prevention, and holistic well-being, this is Green Medicine. Here's your host of Green Medicine, Dr. Jonathan Wright.
Okay, this is indeed Green Medicine Radio, and we're having all kinds of fun technical difficulties, but that's okay. Let's just proceed ahead here. Last week, I managed to avoid politics most of the time. Imagine that. But can't do that this week. Unfortunately, these politics, as so often happens, are once again preventing freedom of choice in healthcare in a way that affects all of us who are enduring the coronavirus epidemic. Those who are members or readers at the Alliance for Natural Health website are probably aware of the very latest threat just a few days ago. However, likely many are not, so sorry about this. Here we go. Here's the title of their very recent message from the Alliance. Home coronavirus testing blocked by FDA. Oh my goodness, I didn't know it was going to be possible to test yourself at home. Yep, but FDA is blocking it. Okay, they go on to say, red tape is once again preventing the deployment of tests that could get our economy back up and running. The pandemic has had a profound effect on the American economy, but innovation may offer a way out. Well, duh, it frequently does, doesn't it? Yep, it may offer a way out. Simple-to-use at-home tests could allow businesses and schools to resume normal operations. Unfortunately, FDA is standing in the way, insisting that a certain threshold of accuracy be attained, which isn't all that much different from the threshold of accuracy from the other ones, by the way. This reliance on bureaucratic red tape is what marred the agency's early response to COVID-19 testing, and it seems as though the agency has not learned its lesson. FDA needs to get out of the way so these rapid tests can be deployed. Writing in the New York Times, New York Professor Lawrence Koltikoff of Boston University and Michael Minna of Harvard's T.H. Chan School of Public Health described new testing being developed by several companies. One is a paper strip test that is inexpensive and can be used every day. You simply spit into a tube and insert a small piece of paper embedded with a protein, and if you're infected, the strip of paper will change color within 15 minutes. The price per person would be between $1 and $5 a day. Now, I'm going to put something in here that ANH didn't write. That explains why FDA is blocking it. $1 and $5 a day? Something inexpensive in healthcare? We can't have that, can we? Infections that could be then confirmed, or not, with the already in use PCR swab test, and infected individuals would quarantine until the next daily test turned negative. Individuals could take timestamp photos of daily negative tests to return to school or work or for admission into movie theaters, restaurants, or other businesses. These daily tests are not as accurate, I think I mentioned that, but they're close, as are the PCR nasal swab tests currently being used. The rapid tests catch an infection at its peak, but they may not be sensitive enough to detect the virus who is in an early or late state of infection when viral loads are lower. Now, as long as you're using the test on a frequent basis, according to Professor Mina, you will be more likely than not to catch the person on the day they might go out and transmit. And they'll know to stay home. Hey, guess what? If these potentially could cost $1 a day, we can afford to test every day and catch an infection at its peak or whatever we need to do. Yep. Mm-hmm. But FDA is blocking the widespread deployment of these stay-at-home tests. Recently, the agency released approval criteria for at-home tests, noting that while the recommended sensitivity for these non-lab tests is lower than lab-based tests, the tremendous benefits of broader access to simple and fast testing options generally outweighs this risk. That's FDA writing it themselves, and now they're blocking it. That's an interesting assertion, given the guidelines provided by the FDA are just 5% lower than the sensitivity required than the PCR and other molecular tests. According again to Michael Mina, these new standards will still block innovation. The software, which is required by FDA guidelines, alone will pose an incredibly large hurdle for many. Unfortunately, the template does not offer this type of new avenue. I think it's going to be necessary if we want to see the $1 daily test become a reality. To us, it seems like the FDA made superficial changes to the requirements for at-home tests so the agency could boast it's allowing for innovation when it is doing anything but. The PCR test, that's the nasal swab, may be more accurate, but it has many other problems. The test costs $50 to $100. Excuse me, $50 to $150. I missed that. Whoa. And this at-home test, which is only 5% less sensitive and will catch it when it peaks, costs $1 to $5. Oh, my goodness. Money again, isn't it? Anyway, the PCR test costs $50 to $150. It causes discomfort. You need to go to a lab or another location. You can't do it at home. And then you need to wait 5 days a week or longer for results, during which time you might be spreading the virus if you are infected, or even if you may even contract the virus, rendering the test results useless. All this explains why few people are actually getting tested. The CDC has reported that 9 of 10 infected Americans never get tested. In short, the FDA has overseen the creation of a fairly accurate COVID test that very few people are using. Mm-hmm. New rapid tests could allow us to test large numbers of people cheaply and safely, and they're 5% away from the level of the other tests? Come on. FDA's mismanagement of this situation of coronavirus testing follows a pattern of ineptitude in other health matters. FDA is actively attempting to ban the bioidentical hormone estriol, and I know I complain about that a lot because estriol is purely anti-carcinogenic, so what are you doing trying to ban the stuff? And then other hormones necessary for women's bioidentical hormone replacement. Even though solid research has found that the longer a woman goes without estrogens, the greater her risk of cognitive decline, and I'm not kidding about that, folks. That research has been around for a while now. FDA is still trying to eliminate not only 100% anti-carcinogenic estrogen and other components of bioidentical hormone replacement. They're also working to destroy homeopathy. No kidding. Homeopathy is supposed to be exempt from FDA regulation. That was put into one of the legislative bills about FDA back in 1937 by the senator from New York State, who represented not only New York State, but was also called the senator from Rockefeller, because guess who funded a lot of his campaigns? FDA and their partner in being healthcare dictators, the FTC, are gagging doctors, literally gagging doctors and clinics from telling their patients and the public about natural methods of treating and preventing the coronavirus. Now, there was just an article in Newsweek recently by a doctor from Harvard School of Public Health, or someplace that's Harvard anyway, telling us that it was absolutely for certain that that stuff called hydroxychloroquine will cure coronavirus. Now, I'm not so much in favor of that because I like high-dose vitamin C IV, but that's been ignored since the publication of Curing Polio with it in 1949, and hydroxychloroquine is not at all as dangerous as FDA likes to tell us. And this doc from Harvard is saying it would cure every time, and it's inexpensive. Oh, there's the problem. It's no longer covered by a patent. Okay, back to what ANH wrote. We need to reform a healthcare system that not only bars the use, but even the mention of natural remedies that have not been and can never be put through the multi-billion dollar FDA approval process, because as natural substances, they can't be patented. Or in the case of hydroxychloroquine, can't have that. Patents run out. They ask you to sign the petition to send your message today or tomorrow. Folks, if you're not members of ANH, you don't need to be members of the Alliance for Natural Health. You can just go to their website, click on any topic you're interested in. Up will come a pre-done letter. You can either use that or write your own concerning all the things we want to protect in our healthcare: bioidentical hormones, homeopathy, get out of the way of this $1 to $5, only 5% less accurate test that always catches it when the infection is high? Yeah. Remember the words of one of our nation's founding documents, the Declaration of Independence? Oh, yes. Remember those words called life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness? It's time for all of us to demand freedom of choice in our own personal health care and that of our children, and not to be subject for the next century like we have been for the last century. I'm not kidding. It's been since the 1920s and 30s, subject to our present health care dictatorship, where we do not have freedom of choice in health care. And not only do we not have freedom of choice in health care, it's worse than that. When qualified people, professors, physicians who've been in practice a long time, try to tell folks that there are natural cures for things, and not just that, but when a church in Florida was helping to cure the coronavirus with chlorine dioxide, yes, if you swallowed a whole bunch of chlorine dioxide all at once, it might hurt you, but they were doing it safely. They were raided by U.S. Marshals at the request of FDA. If that isn't a dictatorship, I don't know what is. So I'm sorry to keep going on and on about the politics here, folks, but we really do need to do something to get out from under this medical dictatorship. Whatever happened to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness from the Declaration of Independence? If we can't make our own choices in healthcare, they're taking away that right to both life and happiness in life. So please, 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 please consider going to anh-usa.org. You can become a member if you want. You don't have to become a member if you don't want. And click on anything in which you're interested. And there's almost always a message sitting there waiting for you to be sent to United States Representative and your two U.S. Senators, and some of them even go to President Trump. Otherwise, if we don't do that, things won't change. I think I mentioned to you what happened back in 2008 when FDA last tried to ban estriol. So many of us went through that ANH website and sent protest messages, that the issue quietly went away. And we need to do that and more, please. Otherwise, who knows, they might want to shut down this here radio program because I'm telling people things that aren't approved for use. Now, the fact that they may have been used, for example, in Ayurvedic medicine or Chinese medicine for the last, and I'm not kidding, folks, for the last 10 to 15 centuries, that doesn't matter to anybody. Uh-uh. What they want is to be able to, quote, grant approval, close quote, which is what dictators do. And to get there, Tufts University tells us that it costs $2.6 billion, and that was in 2015. The whole thing rotates around how many dollars can you make off of healthcare? Not how much good can you do without healthcare. Well, it's about time for me to shut up here and get to your phone calls, so I think I'll do that.
Do you want to rid yourself of chronic conditions and feel vibrantly alive and optimistic about life? When your hormones are out of balance or you have food allergies, you just don't feel right, even when you're eating well, exercising, and getting adequate sleep. Meridian Valley Lab offers state-of-the-art diagnostic testing that can help you and your doctor balance your hormones and uncover underlying food allergies for optimal health. Together with medical director Dr. Jonathan Wright, MD, ND, Meridian Valley Lab has been taking laboratory testing to the next level since 1976. Call 855-405-TEST. If you've tried treating your symptoms but still don't feel well, it might be time to get tested. Take charge of your health by calling Meridian Valley Lab to schedule your hormone or food allergy test today. Call 855-405-TEST or visit MeridianValleyLab.com. That's 855-405-TEST or online at MeridianValleyLab.com.
We've all heard of using
curcumin as a spice. But in the March issue of the Green Medicine Newsletter, Dr. Wright gives a detailed look at the many health benefits that curcumin provides. He quotes a renowned doctor who shares that curcumin is by far one of the most powerful antioxidants known to science, hundreds of times more powerful than blueberries and dark chocolate. In addition, studies reveal that curcumin can lessen or eliminate depression, prevent Alzheimer's and other dementia, reduce obesity, and much more. Subscribe to the Green Medicine Newsletter for the full article and for other health insights. Visit greenmedicinenewsletter.com or call 602-252-4477. That's 602-252-4477. The Green Medicine Newsletter at greenmedicinenewsletter.com. Do you have questions about dietary supplements? Tawny at Tahoma Dispensary has more than 20 years of experience studying scientific literature that supports the many uses for dietary supplements. Tawny has a master's degree in nutrition, and she's definitely an expert in dietary supplements and the science behind them. If you have any general questions about supplements mentioned on today's show or any other supplement questions, call Tahoma Dispensary at 888-893-6878 and ask for Tawny. That's 888-893-6878. Supplements can be used to add nutrients to your diet to potentially lower your risk of health problems like osteoporosis or arthritis. If you have specific questions regarding nutrition and supplements for your particular situation, call Tawny at Tahoma Dispensary, 888-893-6878. That's 888-893-6878. Sharing the secrets to anti-aging, disease prevention, and holistic well-being. You're listening to Green Medicine. Here's Dr. Jonathan Wright.
Hello, everybody. We're having all kinds of interesting technical details today, so if things seem just a little weird, they are. But I shouldn't be talking about that. I should be talking, or actually listening to Rick, who's calling from Snohomish. Hi, Rick. What's on your mind?
Hi, Dr. Wright. Calling about my sister. She had a brain tumor, and 95% of it was removed 6 years ago. And since then, she's had two grand mal seizures, and she currently still has non-grand mal seizures. They put her on a medication, I don't know if I can say the name, but it starts with a K, about 1 to 2 years ago after surgery. And this medication has taken away the grand mal seizures, but not the other seizures that she still has. And this med is affecting her memory, and she didn't have problems with memory before taking it. And she's just wondering if there's something she can take to increase her memory and something that she can take that will help stop the other seizures as well. And she's on 750 milligrams of this medication once a day.
Yeah, and not only that, we'd be needing to look up whether that medication somehow would interfere with any kind of natural remedies we might have in mind. Having said that, do you work with a physician who happens to be skilled and knowledgeable in natural medicine? Or does she? I mean, I should say your sister. I'm sorry. I said the wrong thing there.
Yeah.
Does she do that?
She lives down in California, and she's up here visiting, and we heard about you. And so we're trying to find someone that we can work with, yes.
Okay. Just curious about that, because most docs who are doing this know that, just for example, there are certain minerals that really help to regulate electrical flow, and then there's an amino acid that helps to regulate electrical flow. Now, that amino acid happens to be taurine. It's also known, by the way, taurine, to help us grow new brain cells at any age. Pretty neat. But it also regulates electrical flow through neurons. And did anybody ever get hurt with taurine? Not that anybody knows of. Uh-uh. Now, would taurine and that patent medicine that she's using, or formerly patent medicine using, interact with each other? That I'd have to look up. If somebody came into my office with this question, I'd be able to look it up quickly enough. So that's one thing. It's an amino acid. And then secondly, the minerals that usually can help with electrical flow that are best known. I'm not saying they're the only ones, but are best known, happen to be magnesium and copper. And can you imagine that copper would do that? Of course, because that's what's in the wiring in every house that along which the electricity flows is copper. And nature isn't stupid and knows that copper helps regulate electricity just about every place it needs regulating, including in the wires in the walls and in our neurons. And then magnesium is known to help too, sir. So there are three things that she could try. The taurine is, as far as I know, perfectly safe. If we take more than what our bowels want in the way of magnesium, we will get loose bowels. Doesn't hurt any worse than that, but we can tell. And the threshold for that for magnesium is usually, well, of course, I first should say it's an individual thing, but it's usually somewhere between 350, 400 milligrams and upward to 500 milligrams a day. And if you go to 1,000, you're probably going to get in trouble. Copper, we do want to be careful about, because if we take copper all by itself and no zinc at all, copper actually pushes zinc out of the body. And by the way, zinc returns the favor by pushing copper out of the body. So we have to take, if we're going to use copper to help with electrical flow, it comes, the best absorbed one is something called Sebacate, S-E-B-A-C-A-T-E, copper Sebacate. It's 4 milligrams. And we need to offset that with 60 milligrams of zinc. The zinc, as far as I'm aware, doesn't do a whole lot for seizures, but it sure does help us keep from losing too much zinc from our bodies. And zinc being one of the master regulators of the immune system, we've all heard about that with the coronavirus, we need to keep the levels of it up there. So if I were to use the copper, I would be using the zinc too, not necessarily at the same time, but the same day. So those are some thoughts, sir. You can actually, if you want, you can look some of that up online. Let's see, taurine in seizures and so forth. But it's always best to be working with somebody who knows about this and can check a person individually. Just for example, there's a blood test that tells you about amino acids, which include taurine. And there's a hair test, which tells us about minerals. And, of course, that includes the magnesium and copper, sir.
Okay. And could we contact someone at your clinic to work with?
Certainly. Just about any of our physicians there have been doing this for long enough that they're qualified. So anybody who's available, if this is an urgent thing, sir.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your help, Dr. Wright.
Okay. And if you're going to do that, I'll just mention at our weekly doctor's meeting about this and see what other things we can come up with, too. Just thank you for the question, because it's something that we haven't probably discussed in over a year, so it'd be good for us docs to just be throwing stuff back and forth at each other about seizures and natural treatments.
Yeah, that'll be great, and we'll call on Monday to get into your clinic. Thank you for your help.
Well, thank you for calling, and thank you for listening to me carry on there. Sorry about that. Okay, well, let's see. I guess I should continue on listening here instead of yammering so much. Hi, Dee, what's on your mind?
Oh, hi, Dr. Wright. First of all, I'd like to thank you for being there when I need help. My stool has been Kelly Green, like St. Patrick's Day, for about 12 days now, and I have a little nausea when I eat.
Oops. And it just came on suddenly?
Did you hear me to start with?
Yeah, I surely did, and I asked, did it come on suddenly, or was it just slow buildup?
Yeah, it's been going on 12 days. It just started suddenly. It just started being green suddenly.
Hmm. Well, and is it, in addition to being green, is it also usually the same size, shape, and so forth, or has it also gotten watery?
No. A little watery and very small.
A little watery and very small. Sometimes that may happen if we're just not eating enough of our veggies, but I bet you're eating enough of your veggies, aren't you?
Oh, I did. I ate lots of veggies. I even tried like a whole roasting pan full of vegetables with a little bit of meat. I made a small roast with a spread of vegetables. That didn't even work. It's like the peristaltic action just wanted to stop also at the same time.
All right. Well, I'm not being rude here, but it is a necessary question to ask. How old this year, ma'am?
78.
Okay. Okay. Well, the reason I said okay like that is that according to Mayo Clinic, not just me, but Mayo Clinic back in 1932, I know some of you have heard this before, but they published a study that had to do with digestion, particularly stomach digestion of things, based on 3,700 folks whose tummies they pumped out, and thank goodness we don't have to do that anymore. There's an electronic way to measure. And what they found, that by the time we all get to be 60, ma'am, 48% of the men and 52% of the women, their stomachs aren't making enough hydrochloric acid pepsin to break down the food properly. And if it's not broken down properly, good grief, we can't get the nutrients out to absorb. And not only that, but that strong stomach acid, and it's supposed to be strong, that's the way nature designed it, it actually closes the valve that goes to the esophagus, so we can't get acid reflux. But that strong acid also is necessary to, when it goes from the stomach into the small intestine, to send a signal. I'm not kidding. This is the subject of a Nobel Prize in 1901. A signal being a molecule called secretin, and as soon as that acid gets in the upper small intestine, the secretin goes, oh, okay, I'm going over to the pancreas and tell it to start turning itself on. And without that, the pancreatic digestion doesn't work too well. So, sounds to me, particularly, and if we're 78, we're 78. That's just the way things are. We're well past that 60 years of age when 52% of the women have low stomach acid impairing their digestion. Sounds to me like checking with a doctor who knows what they're doing in natural medicine and digestive issues and getting that digestive tract checked to see if it has, I'm sorry, but achieved what I call gastropause, which just means a pause like for the function of the stomach, like menopause is a pause for the function of the organs. It's going to happen to all of us sooner or later. Some of us, it might not happen until we're 98 years old, I hope. But even so, sounds like it is something to have a look at, because there are ways of remedying that, ma'am. Just like bioidentic hormone replacement, if it survives FDA, replaces what the ovaries aren't doing anymore. All the health food stores have bottles and bottles and bottles of hydrochloric acid capsules and digestive enzymes, and they will replace. We've got to take them. We've got to make the effort to take them. But they will replace what our bodies aren't doing enough to restore a lot of digestive problems to normal. That's the first place I'd look. And so thank you for sharing the age, ma'am, because that tells me a lot.
Okay, well, I did take a little bit of hydrochloric acid, just the liquid form, and I dropped it on my food. I did about 10 drops. And so I did that much of it. I didn't take any pepsin. But all that could account for a stool being green. I've never seen green stool, and it was like Kelly green.
No, ma'am, that wouldn't be the entire thing. Now, let's see what else happens. When we don't have enough acid in the stomach, germs, including fungi and bacteria, are allowed to proliferate, because one of the jobs of hydrochloric acid is killing dead bad guy germs. And as that acid keeps the stomach completely clear of germs, no, it's not keeping the intestines completely clear of germs, but what it is doing is wiping out a lot of bad guy bacteria, because remember, the good guy bacteria have been in humans for so long that the hydrochloric acid isn't going to bother them. So, no, it's not entirely the stomach or entirely the pancreas. It could have to do, and it probably does, ma'am, with what's it called now officially? The microbiome. All that means is the microbes that live in our guts. With a microbiome shift, and now what you got is a lot of bacteria in there who somehow are helping you to achieve a green color, because I know you're not eating any green paints or anything, so that's likely the results of an altered microbiome.
Okay. All right. Well, so up the hydrochloric acid and the pepsin then?
No, not really, ma'am, because you said 10 drops. Now, I'm not kidding you, but researchers have shown us that when we were in our teens, and I know neither one of us still is, but when we are in our teens, that stomach acid is so blinking strong that if you put your finger in your stomach and you could stand the pain, after about half an hour to 45 minutes, you'd pull out bone. It just is that strong. And 10 drops are never going to get us anywhere. The betaine hydrochloride in the stores. I'm not kidding. A researcher down in Southern California, he was a professor of medicine somewhere there. He found that for the average person, the average large meal, and I won't go into the details because there's other people waiting, but he found it could require up to 16 capsules for the, quote, average large meal, unquote, ma'am. That's why you better be working with a physician who knows what they're doing in this area.
Okay, that was the combination, hydrochloric acid and pepsin?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, all right. Well, I didn't take pepsin, so I should try the combo then. And it's okay to take them together? I know they sell them together, but I thought I heard you say one time it was better not to have them together.
No, what you're thinking about that I'm pretty sure I said is the betaine hydrochloride and pepsin go with the meal. Little food, little betaine hydrochloride, pepsin, little food, little betaine hydrochloride, pepsin until you get up to the desired number of capsules. Then you give it 5 or 10 minutes for it to slip along into the upper small intestine, and after that is where you take the digestive enzymes. Those are the ones that are made by the pancreas. You don't want to mix up the digestive enzymes and the hydrochloric acid at the same time because they neutralize each other.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for clarifying that.
All right, ma'am.
Okay,
well, thank you for calling.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Okay. Bye now.
Have you heard about Tea Builder? Tea Builder contains 10 ingredients, each chosen because research studies reported that 9 of Tea Builder's 10 ingredients stimulates men's own bodies to produce more testosterone and or free testosterone. What does the 10th ingredient do? That 10th ingredient is nature's original molecular version of Viagra. Of course, Viagra is not only more potent, but also patentable, more expensive, and has potential adverse effects. Tea Builder, which helps men's bodies make more testosterone, is a safe, effective alternative, and it's not pricey. A 30-day supply, one bottle of 150 capsules, is $29.95. If your entire order is over $35, your shipping is free. Go to TahomaDispensary.com. That's TahomaDispensary.com. Or call 1-888-893-6878 for Tea Builder, the formulation that helps men's bodies make more testosterone. Call 1-888-893-6878.
Dr. Jonathan Wright's SunPal is a multivitamin, antioxidant, mineral, and amino acid formulation comprised of nutrients that exert a positive effect on the structure and function of skin. It significantly reduces the risk of skin cancer. This all-natural, research-based supplement was created based on the work of Neva Shapira, Ph.D. Dr. Shapira pointed out in her brilliant article in Nutrition Reviews that the melanoma skin cancer rate in Greece was less than the melanoma skin cancer rate in Australia. Both countries provide plenty of sunshine, so why the difference? Many of the nutrients in the Greek diet, which aren't present in the Australian diet, significantly reduce the risk of melanoma and other skin cancers. SunPal contains the majority of these missing ingredients. Dr. Wright supports this belief, so go ahead and enjoy the outdoors again this summer and every time you're outside. Go to TahomaDispensary.com. That's TahomaDispensary.com. Or call 1-888-893-6878 to order now. 1-888-893-6878.
If you want a better tan this summer, you need to check out Dr. Jonathan Wright's natural supplement, Tan Pal. It's loaded with amino acids, vitamins, and copper that increases the body's ability for melanin production. Even the fairest skin people will be able to tan to a noticeable degree. Take advantage of your body's own natural tanning chemistry to prolong the length of time you spend in the sun before you start to turn pink. The latest science-determined nutrients will offer skin support and allow you to develop a healthy, natural glow. Go to TahomaDispensary.com. TahomaDispensary.com or call 1-888-893-6878 to order now. That's 1-888-893-6878. Dr. Wright's natural supplement, Tan Pal. Order now by calling 1-888-893-6878. That's 1-888-893-6878. Fair skin folks, this is your ray of sunshine. Tan Pal. Call 1-888-893-6878.
And now, back to Green Medicine, here's Dr. Jonathan Wright.
Yep, I guess I'm still here, despite all the technical difficulties. Now, just before I get to Stephanie here, who's calling us from Marysville, thank you, Stephanie, Better give out the old phone numbers, which happen to be 206-421-0770, 206-421-0770, or there's always the 800 number, 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. So if you happen to have a question, or maybe even two of them, because after Stephanie, nobody's waiting, you might want to call now. Otherwise, you get to listen to me carry on, and who wants to do that all the time? I'd rather be answering your questions. So anyway, 206-421-0770, 800-465-8770, and time for me to shut up and listen to Stephanie.
Hi, Dr. Wright. Hey,
hello, ma'am.
I just want to register my vote. An hour on Saturday is just not enough. I really would like to hear you for at least another hour or two on Saturday. So that's my vote.
Okay, well, right now I have got so much that's going on, and I don't mean having fun either. Well, it is having fun doing what I'm doing, but what I mean is I don't mean playing around. I haven't got that extra hour anymore
I'm sure.
I did before.
Yeah,
and
I'm sure.
And if you haven't seen my newsletter, Green Medicine Newsletter, I do write that once a month. And fortunately, since it only has to be done once a month, I get a lot of information in there, ma'am.
Yes, I've received that for years. But, hey, my question is, you know, heaven forbid that I should get coronavirus, although I'm not really afraid of it, but I am immunosuppressed. And I believe strongly that hydroxychloroquine should be available to us over-the-counter, which it isn't, or even better yet, IV vitamin C treatment. But so I'm thinking, if, heaven forbid, that I should test positive for the virus, where could I get these cutting-edge cures before I end up in the hospital on a respirator?
Well, very fortunately, hydroxychloroquine is available as a prescription, and you probably know that the patent is no longer in place, and so it's not near as expensive as ordinary patent medicines are. I know some folks who've come to Toma Clinic and said to their doc, and I was one of those docs, can you please give me a prescription for hydroxychloroquine that I can just put on up on the shelf? I'll feel better if I have it there to be safe. So that's one step you could take, ma'am. By the way, there's actually, if you go to the Newsweek website and type in hydroxychloroquine and the name Harvey, H-A-R-V-E-Y, Risch, but that one's harder to spell, R-I-S-C-H, that's R-I-S-C-H, Harvey,
okay.
At
uh-huh.
Newsweek. He's got this nice, long article. He's a professor of epidemiology at Yale, and he's telling us all about the solid evidence behind the use of hydroxychloroquine. It wasn't just a President Trump gaffe. In fact,
right.
It wasn't a gaffe at all. It's just the media made it to be that way. Here's this professor of epidemiology telling us how well it works. Go to Newsweek at allthewsnewsweek.com /opinion and look for Harvey, R-I-S-C-H, and check with your natural medicine doctor about a just-in-case hydroxychloroquine prescription.
I do have a doctor at the Tahoma Clinic that I just might have to visit because I'm going to see my primary care doctor later this month, and I will look up that Newsweek article. Thank you for that. But she has a plastic uterus on her desk given to her by Premarin. So I don't have a high opinion of this woman.
Yeah.
She has actually asked me when I'm going off my bioidentical hormones, and I said, just wait until you're perimenopausal and then talk to me about that.
That was one of the better answers I could think of, ma'am.
Well, she's getting close. So anyway, and then is there anyone who will do IV vitamin C therapy?
Not in our region. And the reason for that is that most of the clinics, that is the natural medicine clinics, are really kind of small. And if we were doing IV vitamin C for coronavirus, we would be overrun and we wouldn't be able to see our regular patients. And I'm not kidding you. We've had that many calls. So we're going to have to wait until there's a facility that's large enough to handle it. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. So it seems like at this point, and YouTube and other, you know, social media is all over this hydroxychloroquine physicians are testifying on the steps, you might know, of the Supreme Court about the benefits of the hydroxychloroquine, and they're just being shut down by YouTube. But it's, you know, it's everywhere. The information is everywhere.
It really is. And this, from this professor of epidemiology, you can hardly argue with those credentials.
Okay, excellent. I'm going to take that and show it to my primary care doctor, and if that doesn't work, I'll come see Dr. Perza.
Okay, that'd be fine.
All right, thank you very much, Dr. Wright.
You're welcome. Bye now, and thanks for calling. Okay, let's see. Oh, some people use the phone numbers. How do you like that? Beverly, what's on your mind, ma'am?
Oh, hi, Dr. Wright. I was wondering which form of lithium would be appropriate. I don't know how to ask the question because I know there's so many rules pertaining to medical advice. But anyway, I want to know if lithium chloride or lithium aspartate or lithium orotate, or if there's any more of the various lithiums, which one is better absorbed? I called you a couple weeks ago. I have a friend that has ALS, and he is elected at this time. I don't think he wants to go on the only drug that is available, which is the Riluzole. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that.
You're close.
Pardon?
You're close.
Okay, anyway, that's all I can get. It's close. But anyway, he's going to go with the CBD to try to address the glutamate overabundance. And then he was thinking of the low dose, you know, just the regular lithium that is available in the vitamin section, you know.
And those sizes are five. Oh, you go ahead.
Pardon?
Those sizes are 5, 10, and 20 milligrams. The aspartate or the orotate, they both absorb just about as well as each other, and they are much better than the lithium chloride, which is a prescription stuff. I'm not saying it doesn't absorb well, but it's 300 milligram, and one should not be using that unless they're working with a physician who knows what they're doing with it. Now, one thing that most physicians, that is, I should say mainstream physicians, haven't been exposed to is the fact that actually there is a preventive for lithium doing harm. I've helped pull people out of lithium starting toxicity. These are people who were taking the 300 milligram size because of their manic depressive psychosis, and they're starting to get shaky and all that kind of stuff. By having them use a tablespoon of fish oil in the morning and a tablespoon of flax oil at night, and what do you know, that puts a hat on lithium toxicity. I learned that.
Oh, what does? I'm sorry, you didn't come through on my phone. What was the tablespoon of what?
Fish oil, ma'am. Fish oil.
Oh, fish oil. Oh, I should tell you that he's going on the Dr. Frank's No Aging Diet from years and years ago, which includes a lot of sardines, like four or five cans of sardines a week, and one can of salmon, and you know, high RNA foods. And so that would be his fish oil, I suppose.
Yes, and then the other tablespoon should be flax oil because we need some of the omega-6s to go with the omega-3s.
Oh, thank you, flax oil.
Yeah, that puts a good lid on lithium toxicity. Even so, though, I wouldn't go past what they have in the health food store in doses, which is 5, 10, and 20, without working with a physician who's skilled and knowledgeable in natural medicine.
Oh, he's not intending to go high on it.
Okay.
No, he's going to go with the regular vitamin dosage. What he's trying to accomplish is just a well-rounded nutritional attack, with most of that attack being in the RNA diet, which includes...
I'm very familiar with Dr. Frank. I know who you mean.
Oh, and you like Dr. Frank's? I know it's old stuff, but...
You know, Ayurvedic and Chinese medicine are 2,000 years old, and universities are still finding that things that are mainstream in Ayurvedic and Chinese medicine actually do work. Darndest thing, huh?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm old, and I've been using that diet, and my skin looks 10 years younger, and I use
the
top. So there you go. And I wanted to ask you about red light therapy inducing So what's that supposed to do? Oh, more ATP. So I guess one of the things he's trying to do with the RNA business is to get more ATP, and also to try to reproduce or to repair the cells, of course, just good health in general.
Okay,
but,
ma'am, the simpler way
does red light reach into the motor neurons? Do you know if it goes through the cranium or?
No, I don't believe it goes through the cranium, ma'am, but
okay.
It goes through the skin, but not there. But one of the ways
now, where are the motor neurons then? Are they in the back of the neck so you can get to it with a red light? With laser, just with lead.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to be getting at them very well in the back of the neck either. But if we're trying to increase ATP, hey, how about some niacinamide? Niacinamide helps every cell in the body to make more ATP. And
oh,
it's inexpensive,
okay.
And not patented and so forth.
Yes. Thank you. Oh, and one more thing. Are you guys... your clinic, do they accept patients like my friend?
Yes, I'd probably be seeing one of the physicians who's been there for longer, Dr. Sherman or Dr. Lampson, but they sure do.
And what should I tell my friend that they focus on? Just making, maybe helping with a routine of nutritional routine? Should I say that perhaps they could help with dosage?
Well, they can definitely help with dosage of a whole variety of the things you'll find in the health food store.
Okay.
You know
so
what,
even
ma'am,
the CBD oil. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's time for me to shut up because I know...
Thank you so much.
Okay. And Rebecca, Mike, and Bill will try to get to everybody after the music here.
In the February issue of the Green Medicine Newsletter, the supplement strontium is explained in great detail. Studies show that strontium helps to improve bone density, decrease tooth sensitivity, and can help treat osteoporosis in a natural, healthy way. You may be wondering what to look for in a strontium supplement. Based on research, it appears that between 340 and 680 milligrams of elemental strontium works best. The smaller quantities will help prevent bone loss from occurring, while the larger doses can help treat osteoporosis. Talk to your doctor or schedule an appointment at the Tahoma Clinic to discuss what is right for you. To read the full article and find out the ins and outs of strontium, subscribe to the Green Medicine Newsletter by visiting greenmedicinenewsletter.com. That's greenmedicinenewsletter.com or call 602-252-4477. Schedule an appointment at the Tahoma Clinic to discuss what is right for you. Call 602-252-4477. Do you want to rid yourself of chronic conditions and feel vibrantly alive and optimistic about life? When your hormones are out of balance or you have food allergies, you just don't feel right, even when you're eating well, exercising, and getting adequate sleep. Meridian Valley Lab offers state-of-the-art diagnostic testing that can help you and your doctor balance your hormones and uncover underlying food allergies for optimal health. Together with medical director Dr. Jonathan Wright, MD, ND, Meridian Valley Lab has been taking laboratory testing to the next level since 1976. Call 855-405-TEST. If you've tried treating your symptoms but still don't feel well, it might be time to get tested. Take charge of your health by calling Meridian Valley Lab to schedule your hormone or food allergy test today. Call 855-405-TEST or visit meridianvalleylab.com. That's 855-405-TEST or online at meridianvalleylab.com.
The Tahoma Clinic is a premier holistic medical clinic established in 1973 by Dr. Jonathan V. Wright. Dr. Wright is a well-known pioneer in natural medicine, researcher, author, and speaker. The Tahoma Clinic has provided evidence-based natural treatments for thousands of patients. Located between Seattle and Tacoma, just 15 minutes from SeaTac Airport, the Tahoma Clinic provides a multifaceted approach to healthcare. Recommended therapies include bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, customized vitamin, mineral, amino acid, essential fatty acid, and botanical therapies. They offer non-invasive thermography screening for breast health, treatment for dry macular degeneration, therapies to support brain health, the Heidelberg Digestive Analysis to determine levels of stomach acid, plus advanced naturopathic care. They invite you to call 206-812-9988 to schedule an appointment or ask your specific questions. The Tahoma Clinic is looking forward to assisting you on your path to wellness.
You're listening to Green Medicine. Here's your host of Green Medicine, Dr. Jonathan Reich.
Yep, I guess I'm still here. Well, I'm told that Rebecca went away, but I was also told before she went away that she was wondering about niacinamide dosage. So I'll be really quick with this because it's so simple and it is so helpful. Niacinamide helps to make ATP in every cell in the body. Now, the dose I usually recommend goes back to 1944 when a doctor found that this would completely control the symptoms of osteoarthritis in several hundred adults within 3 to 4 months. And what he was recommending was 1,000 milligrams 3 times a day. Okay. Second thing, niacinamide gives us a symptom if we're taking too much for us. Feels like a low-grade nausea, like we're just starting to be out on a boat being a little bit seasick. And if that happens, you back off. That's all. Now, there are time-release forms made now, so we don't have to take 2 500-milligram capsules every meal. There's 500-milligram time release, and there's a 750 time release. So what a lot of the guys do who can swallow a slightly larger pill is take 750 milligrams, two of them, twice daily, and it does energize every cell in the body with ATP. It has a lot of uses, and it's time for me to shut up and listen to Mike. Hi, Mike. What's on your mind?
Hello, Doc.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Doctor, I've been a long-time subscriber to your newsletter and have taken your suggestions about the big zinc lozenges and SSKI, especially when traveling in case as a first line of defense against any random viruses or bacteria. Do you think that either of those have any kind of effect on a coronavirus infection?
Well, the zinc, simply because as we get older, our thymus glands need more and more support, and you know the thymus gland is the so-called master regulator of the immune system. So from that point of view, it's not specific targeting the COVID virus. What it's doing is, as you know, if you don't, and it sounds like you've done your reading for a long time, it helps to keep the thymus gland strong and active, and that's what we want. Now, the other thing you mentioned was the SSKI. And what did you have in mind about that, sir? Insofar as killing the coronavirus? Probably not.
Okay. All right. Because I do take that when I travel as kind of a all-around defense. And fortunately, last few years, I've never caught anything, even though before I started taking that, I would inevitably catch some kind of a cold on an airplane. So,
sir, the only time my wife and I ever got a cold on an airplane was when we forgot our SSKI. And that's been in the last 30 years, so you go for it. I'll shut up.
One final question about the overly zealous regulation of medicine. Do you know of any countries where they're not quite as regulatory of medical practices where you can escape to if you have to?
Sure. That's why I happen to know a doctor who's American clinic is on one side of the Mexican border, namely the USA side, and her other clinic is on the other side of the border.
Okay.
That's the closest one to us.
Any other countries anywhere else in Asia or Europe or some island in the Caribbean?
Southeast Asia. I don't know if I'd be able to speak the language there, but Malaysia, some of the Thailand, some of those countries, they don't seem to be that big on regulating the practice of medicine, sir.
Right. Well, thanks, Doc. I really appreciate your information.
You're welcome. I wish Europe were that way, but I've been communicating with a doctor over in Europe who says, oh, my goodness, the European Union is getting to be as bad. Their dictates for health are getting to be as bad as FDA. Okay, I should listen to Bill, though, instead of me. Hi, Bill. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dr. Wright. How you doing?
I think I'm doing okay, except for all these technical difficulties. What's on your mind, sir?
Oh, okay. We'll get over those. So I got a question regarding antibiotics. Am I barking up the right tree here with you on that subject?
Well, I've done a couple of newsletters telling you about, hey, you should take this if you're taking that antibiotic over there because it mitigates some of the effects.
And that's what I'm calling about. I recently went in for a biopsy, prostate biopsy, and about a week later I came out with a really bad case of C. diff, and it wasn't pleasant. And
no.
After being diagnosed with it, they gave me a two-week course of antibiotics four times a day. So that was like 56 pills, right? And I was, wow, that's a lot. So anyway, it didn't take care of it. It came back, and now they've got me on almost double that amount. They've got me back to another two-week course, and then there's a slowdown period where you taper down over another 2 weeks, where you know, it's every other day, two pills a day, blah, blah, blah. My question is, knowing that how bad it is for your intestinal flora and all that stuff, should I be taking, or is it worth taking a probiotic, or should I just do the antibiotics and then just rebuild my flora after the course is over with?
You know, I haven't seen any research on that, but that's a good question. So all I can give you here is not research-based, but an opinion. And that opinion is, it's probably best to scatter a few of the beneficial bacteria during the time when you're taking the antibiotic. And is the antibiotic going to kill them all? Well, we just have to hope not. And what I mean is something like, oh, a couple capsules a couple times a day away from the antibiotics, a couple capsules of probiotic. And then what I'd really pile it on is as soon as you're done with the antibiotics, sir.
Yeah, and that's what I was kind of thinking. And it's hard to find any good relative information regarding this. It's like you get a lot of different responses, and it's like, well, if you're taking the antibiotic, there's no point in taking the probiotic because the antibiotic is going to kill all the stuff. So, right? So there's no point. And I'm like,
okay. You don't have any guarantee that those antibiotics can kill all of what would be in the capsule. Yeah. Okay, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm just hoping that this round wipes out that C. diff, because I don't know how I got this. I think I know where I got it from, but it don't want to ever go through that if you don't have to. It's not fun.
No.
All right, and Doc. Do you recommend any quality probiotics, or just, you know, they're all kind of the same?
No, sir. One of my favorites. One of my favorites, because all the research work that went into it, was pioneered by a Japanese doctor with the last name of Ohira. It's just called Dr. Ohira's Ohira, Dr. Ohira's probiotic. He has done just massive research, and that's what, you know, some professors make a career out of one thing, and that's what he did.
Oh, I like that. Ohira?
Almost. Ohira.
Oh, I just need to slip an R in there.
Yep.
Got it. Okay, cool. I'll look into that.
All right, sir, and thank you for calling. Okay, we're going to hear the music soon. However, that doesn't mean I can't carry on here. Because, really, sorry about this, folks, but FDA is really on the warpath against natural medicine again. Come on, raiding churches for treating people with something as simple as chlorine dioxide, which, yes, if you use way too much of it, can hurt you. But it certainly does kill a lot of germs. Raiding a church? When did that become legal to raid a church at gunpoint and arrest the two associate pastors? And then there's the warning letters. One went to a colleague of mine who has been curing, and I am not kidding, curing coronavirus with nothing more than ultraviolet blood irradiation. And he happened to tell people about it on his website, and oh my goodness, he got a warning letter. They're going to shut him down. Gee, we need to. Please, please, please go to anh-usa.org. Click on anything you're interested in preserving and help us to preserve the little bit of freedom of choice we have in healthcare. Thank you, and there's the music, and I gotta shut up.